Hey, hey, welcome to the Cesspool. I am Jay Foss, and due to medical illness, we have someone from the minors up from the majors. We have the fag man on fights, the recipient of the queer naked choke, Seanstra Dumbass, and I forget what the fucking last one was. There's another one.
I'd have to look it up.
Oh, Master of the Knob Mission or Slob Mission.
Yeah, Knob Mission. Yeah.
It's Knob Missions. All right. We got Sean Norman with us today.
What's up, y'all?
Are we wishing John a speedy recovery?
I've got my cannons full of prayers. And I'm sending them to him.
Do not get well soon.
Don't get well, John.
We're recording this not too far past the conclusion of UFC 203, probably like 15 minutes past. So we will discuss that. But first and foremost, last week was UFC Hamburg, Germany, which apparently is the only place this fucking podcast is going to be listened to at. And of course, Nashville.
We love you, Nashville.
Does the Mormon like Nashville?
I love Nashville. They got the Titans there. They got football. So, you know, why not?
UFC Hamburg. We'll talk about three fights. The Mormon didn't see them, so I'll just kind of break them down. Ryan Bader defeats Ilyar Latifi by a knee in the second round. And let's face it, anytime Ryan Bader's not below a black man getting his skull crushed, he's a happy camper. The next fight, Alexander Gustafsson defeats Jan Blachowicz by unanimous decision. He basically just laid on him, landed some shots, and it was just your typical, I need to beat this guy without, you know, doing, you know, taking very many risks. And so he did. The main event of that was Josh Barnett defeated Arlovski, submission rear naked choke in the third. These two guys, it's pretty obvious they're past their primes now. Barnett, if his game plan was to wear Arlovski out and eventually, you know, just try to get him in an advantageous situation, you know, it worked. So Barnett, he'll move up and he'll most likely, he might lose to a top contender. I hope not. I'm a Barnett fan. But this brings us to, and I know you're fired up, Mormon, to UFC 203 that we watched tonight.
Yes, a few hours ago.
I will highlight four fights.
Okay.
First, Jimmy Rivera defeats Uriah Faber by unanimous decision. The crowd booed a lot. Uriah Faber's middle-aged surfer gimmick, I think, is coming to an end because he didn't do a whole lot. The fight never went to the ground.
Yeah, definitely did not.
The fight never really got going.
No, just a lot of him trying to kick and not doing anything.
He did throw the same front kick over and over.
And over again.
But yeah, pretty much Uriah Faber's kind of put his career on the edge now. He was the underdog. But, you know, Jimmy Rivera.
In the words of Joe Rogan, Uriah, you're dead.
In the words of Joe Rogan, if you hear Tupac's California Love, you immediately start screaming. Oh, and by the way, I know this isn't about this podcast, but it's not. We're not drinking craft beers tonight. It's solid BLLs.
Bud Light Limes.
So, drinking like twinks because we watched two twinks
fight battle tonight. It out in the octagon.
Speaking of twink, Mickey Gall came out to What was the song?
Oh, Mickey, you're so fine. You're so fine. You roll my mind. Hey, Mickey. That song.
Yeah. That's terrible. That Which he should have.
Dana White stopped it, but allowed it again for some reason.
He should have came to the Octagon with a life-size dildo.
When you mean came, do you mean...
life-size. That makes no sense. But maybe a Uriah Faber-sized dildo.
There we go. Now we're talking.
Because that's a moderate.
Yeah, I mean, he's out there surfing the waves. Might be surfing some calcs.
So he came out to that. CM Punk came out to his old WWE music. And to be honest, I was somewhat fired up for it for some reason. I mean, I wouldn't say fired up, but definitely interested. Most everybody on Twitter and most everybody I know and most of my friends. I mean, I don't think anyone called CM Punk to win this fight, which is very fucking rare.
Yeah.
In a fight that at least, you know, one guy doesn't say, oh, well, you know, I think CM Punk could win, but no, no one gave him a chance in hell. Vegas didn't give him a chance in hell. Mickey Gall came skipping to the ring, flamboyant as fuck, out to, hey, Mickey, smiling, not worried whatsoever. He didn't give a fuck that he was there. The fight starts. CM Punk immediately, I don't know if it was charging, but definitely walked straight towards him, got taken down immediately.
Yes.
And then
immediately
stayed on the ground, tried a few hammer fists from the bottom that did nothing, got punched. He ended up, I'm not quite sure without relooking at it, but it was either a scramble or he just did it himself, belly down. Onto his back, he fought off the first choke attempt, and then the second choke attempt, he was just kind of like, hey, you know what?
It's over.
This shit is a little too real for me. I just lost to the guy coming out to, hey, Mickey, smiling. Let's tap. So
I think it was, what, 2 minutes, 14 seconds in the first round?
Yeah, it wasn't much past 2 minutes. Mickey Gall then got up as if he had done something and celebrated.
Called out.
The post-fight where he said fuck a lot.
Yeah, he said that. And, Sage Northcutt.
Yeah. He said fuck the hate. Then he said, you know, we're all going to be dead in 100 years. Speak for yourself, dude.
He'll be 124, FYI.
If I have to watch you fight, I hope I'm dead soon.
Take me now, Jeebus.
So, he said that. Then Rogan was kind of just trying to wrap it up, and he's like, aren't you going to ask me who I want to call out or something? He's like, well, okay, who you want to call out? He's like, Sage Northcutt, he's corny or he's a dweeb or something like that. And this guy that just skipped out grinning to, hey, Mickey, just called a guy corny. That's fucking crazy.
Makes no sense.
You know, at least Sage Northcutt's pretty. You know Mickey Gall, and I mentioned this to the Mormon, I go, and this is not making light of anything, I'm not making fun of anybody, but he looks like he has Down syndrome.
Yep, like he really has no clue what's going on.
No, he came out, skipping out to his music. I mean, again, I'm not making light of it, but, you know, he shouldn't be talking about people's looks or being corny or anything, because he just came out to the worst music, and you know, he fought probably the easiest fight that UFC would
offer.
he wanted it bad too. I never saw the Dana White looking for a fight,
yeah,
that he was on, but you know, why not? If I would call out, you know, if it's me, I'm calling out Kane
Velasquez.
No, Kane the wrestler. Fuck Kane Velasquez.
Oh, fuck Kane Velasquez.
Kane the wrestler.
K with a K.
Yeah, with a K. Oh, don't give me the guy with the C. Fuck that. No, you heard me wrong, motherfuckers.
He is not worthy.
No, you heard me wrong. I want the middle-aged wrestler guy.
With the red mask.
who wears the mask and the fake wig. Don't give me that Mexican dude. I don't need that. The next fight, which was just bad, Fabricio Werdum defeated Travis Rousey in their rematch. This fight started off with a Power Ranger kick to start. Shortly after that, a kick, I think it was it? No, it was a punch. He was blocking a punch.
I think it was a kick to the head.
Oh, was it? It was either a kick to the head or a punch.
Yeah, it was a kick to the head.
Okay. Out. And he blocked it, and it went and seemingly dislocated the finger.
Oh, no. I thought you were talking about after the first round.
Oh, no.
Okay, yeah. It was like,
okay, so the finger was a punch. I think down. He was blocking the punch.
Yeah.
So he's blocking the punch, dislocates his finger, and since it's MMA, he goes ahead and calls time. And
this ain't baseball.
If no one's familiar with MMA, you have 3 timeouts per round. The booth review.
Oh.
No, so he calls time. He gets cracked for it. And so they give him time to put his finger back.
Stretch it out.
Yo, man, you know, and Ronda Rousey's not back at home worried because she's off, you know, filming some B film
or trying to seeing sell some cell phones.
Seeing what who's that guy's movie she's doing?
Roadhouse.
Who's that guy?
He was in Tombstone. Kurt Russell.
Kurt Russell?
I think Kurt Russell was in Roadhouse. I think it was. I don't think it was Patrick Swayze.
It was Swayze, right? It's got to be Swayze. Google that real quick while I talk. I think it was Patrick Swayze. So she's at home probably filming a B film, trying desperately never to fight again. And she's seeing like what Patrick Swayze film she can rip off. Ghost, or she'll be the ghost, or some shit.
Yeah.
So she's not watching her house husband fight.
Controlling Holly Holm.
Probably catfishing Holly Holm.
Yeah. Ghost too.
So yeah, she's probably not watching Travis Rousey fight. But so, you know, he relocates his finger and then proceeds to do nothing the rest of the fight.
It was Patrick Swayze.
It was. Okay, well, that's verified. But
by Google.
Google verified. That fight went on, and boy, it went on and on. That felt like a 7-round fight because, boy, there was nothing going on. But Werdum got the decision, and before they announced the decision, Travis Rousey's coach, who's also Ronda Rousey's coach, he looks like Count Dracula or whatever.
Yeah.
He says something, and Werdum takes, you know,
kick
note of it, and kicked him in the chest or stomach or something like that. And on Twitter afterwards, Count Dracula, which don't mistake him for Count Cocula.
Two different
said
people.
He kicked like a bitch and he would challenge him to a fight and stuff like that. But what's funny is when Verdum's over there kicking Travis Rousey's corner, Travis is still just sitting there. Like, he did nothing in the fight. He's not about to do anything post-fight.
I mean, he's just taking it like he takes it from Ronda.
Werdum could mount Travis's mom. And Travis would be like, oh.
It's all good.
Oh, no. I'll stand over here. I'll cuckold for a minute. And I'm getting out of here. Which, after that, it led us to the main event. All-American. He's from Cleveland, guys. And if you didn't know,
his name is Stipe.
Stipe, which I think in America, we just call him Stip.
Or Stephen.
Stip.
Stip.
Stip Machich. But he's from Cleveland, and if you didn't know it for the first 18 times they said it.
Or the promos.
He fought Alistair Overeem, and this is the best fight of the night. Easily. Back and forth, huge shots by both guys. Just heavyweight fighting. That's how it's going to be. Alistair dropped him, had a chance at a guillotine, didn't get it. And then shortly after that, Alistair got hurt with punches. Kind of, I think he slipped to the ground a little bit. Stip got on him. And then, like the purebred Cleveland American badass he is, goes ahead and pounds him out with punches. And that's that. That's your review for UFC 203. Do you got time for a call, Sean?
Yeah, I always got time.
All right, we're going to take one call.
All right.
Fagman on Fights, you're talking to the new and improved Voice of MMA. Do you got a question?
There's a short one. Dominion, that's what I'm going to call him.
He's here.
Which fighter are you looking forward to see fight tonight?
I have to apologize, Sean. This guy's obviously a dipshit. UFC 203 is over, but was there a fighter you were looking forward to seeing?
I was looking forward to the CM Punk fight. I want to see what he could do.
And what was that?
It was just go to the ground and pray to Jeebus all night.
After a long, grueling podcast such as this, Sean, do you ever get thirsty?
Fuck yeah.
Don't stay dry, drink Mike's apple pie.